You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Crash podcast.
Glad you did, because I wouldn't know the first thing about it.
Do you know how to do stuff like this?
I'm learning, and I've been learning for the past like year just to sort of be able to record more on my own. But it's I know very little.
I always wonder about that with people who are in bands that have been in bands for like a really long time, if they can actually like, because I've been in bands forever, but like, yeah. I don't know how to do any of this shit.
Yeah.
I can. Honestly, barely work an amp. Like, I fucking, like, don't know how to do any of that stuff.
Right.
Okay, let's do an intro-y thing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast.
We haven't done one in a while.
It's been, like, a month. We're here with Ryan Seaman and Dallin Weeks from I Don't Know How, but they found me.
Hello.
Hi.
So thank you guys for coming on here. I'm really excited to do one of these because I haven't done this in a while. And it's one of my, if I can just hear myself talk for an hour, it's like one of my favorite.
I think I did a podcast one time before, and it was horrible. But
we'll make
this.
Why
was it horrible? So we
I'm just
not
kidding. It was
whatever.
Fine. It was totally fine. I'm just kidding. But I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having
me. It was funny because when you guys were, like, before you got here, Morgan's like, I can't wait to do this podcast to talk about my trip.
Yeah, I haven't talked about it at all, so we'll get to it. Don't worry. I just got back from Europe, and I'm fucking so tired. I'm on, like, Amsterdam time.
Mm.
So it's, like, nine hours ahead or something, 10 hours yeah. ahead or something fucking weird like that. But so the last, like, couple nights I've been up at, like, 3:30. TJ, you get the alarm when I'm in here, right? Like, it alerts to your phone, like, when I come in.
I get a text message. I'll wake up to a text that's like, Morgan has
been in here when it's still fucking dark outside.
Yeah.
Being super weird. So you guys have played our night twice now.
And you put out a song on Friday, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Your show is the first one that we ever played. It was
In December.
Yeah, I remember
December,
that.
A while ago.
Yeah,
and we didn't tell anyone that we were doing it, and we just sort of kept that tradition alive and started playing around LA without telling anybody.
How many shows have you guys played around here?
I think five total. Yeah. I'd have to really think about it, but yeah, it's five.
Where?
We played Emo Night, then we played at a place called Sassafras. That was really cool.
Hey, Sassafras is fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's a really cool vibe there.
It was really fun. And then we played the Viper Room.
Mm-hmm. Amplify.
Amplify.
Is it only all
and the other and Emo Night like the last one so that's five. So we've done two out of five with you guys.
But do you not announce the other ones?
We've only started to talk about it publicly recently, but since December it's been a secret, and we've just been like denying it anytime someone has asked.
Honestly, which I think is one of the coolest things that you can do as a band, because everybody's like, how do we get as big as possible and get in front of as many people as possible the quickest? And you guys are like, we don't do any of that. We don't know.
No, it's cool.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, because like a lot of bands on social media, it's like, check me out, check this out.
Yeah,
like, this is where we're at right now. Like, please look at me. And we were just like, well, we just want to have fun with music.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like a very cool punk rock attitude towards the new digital age, which I appreciate, is because it's so hard to find like a refreshing point of view from the like show flyers and fucking, you know, we do all that shit too sometimes because we have to, like, we have
yeah
to.
it's sort of a necessity because when it comes to music and being in a band, it's so saturated, everyone's in a band, so to get people to look and listen to what you're doing, it takes something besides the quality of the music that you're playing.
Right.
Unfortunately, for better or for worse, that's just the reality now.
And I don't think it's like it would be a fucking, you know, it's not a gimmick either, because like I've watched you guys play both times. I've caught like a I've caught a couple songs because we're always fucking running around.
Because mm-hmm. you're running a show.
Yeah, yeah, but also right. fuck that shit. You know what I mean? we book bands that we like. So, and it's like a bummer when we have to like manage shit and we can't see like our friends or yeah. like bands that we want to see. So right. sometimes we just take turns and like cruise back up and check well, it out.
It's the same thing when you're playing a show too. I mean, it's fun, but you're there to work, not necessarily to hang out and party. I mean, you probably could, but you wouldn't last very long if that was the case.
I think with the way Emo Night works, it's just kind of a joyous celebration anyway, just with everything.
It's not yeah. a show.
It's fun.
It's yeah. not a show is the
you get
thing.
To see your friends that it's you like, might not normally see on a daily basis because everybody has lives and jobs. We should change
our social media bios to that. A joyous, what was it?
A joyous celebration.
A joyous yeah. celebration.
Yeah. A joyous celebration. No.
Well, it's kind of one of the reasons that we wanted to play Emo Night initially, because we knew that it was a place where people go just to hang out, not necessarily to see this or that band, but just to be together and have a good time, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, what's interesting is that the bands that we've had play, like, in the last, like, couple months, it's been, like, a weird, like, A&R scouting tech sort of
right.
deal. Like, because we get so many submissions monthly, and we sift through them, and we're like, which ones are fucking awesome? Like, which ones are really good? And we try and, like, Emo Night has become this platform to give newer bands an audience that they normally wouldn't get in front of,
mm-hmm.
which has been really, really a cool thing for us to be a part of. And it's really nice to see a lot of these bands getting signed and succeeding and going on tours with bands that we, you know. And
right.
So it's been, the band part of it has been going on for how long?
I mean, like, I feel like 2 years now.
No, because we just had, I mean,
like maybe a year and a half, year and a half.
Yeah, we didn't have that at first. We didn't know, we were like growing it into like whatever the fuck it was, but enough about us.
Well, going into playing your night, I didn't know what to expect because, admittedly, I've never been, you know, part of emo anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of missed that whole thing when it was going on.
What were you
but,
doing?
But I was listening to like Ben Folds Five and which, like nerdy
dude
stuff.
Hey, did you see when he did the like live when it was the
chat roulette?
Chat roulette.
I didn't see that. No, I heard about it, though.
If you want to laugh your fucking ass yeah. off, watch those. It is. He was, so what would happen was he was... Remember when chat roulette was a thing?
Yeah.
So he was playing these huge shows, and he would just put chat roulette, like a live chat roulette on the fucking screen, and then he would just improv songs about what people were doing.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
But like they could see the whole audience, like so it was just like,
so like one person.
Yeah, it was just like house. It was one person like on the giant screen, and he gave him this huge audience and just fucking write songs about it, and it was by far one of the funnier things that I've ever seen done.
Yeah. That's cool. I always appreciate a little bit of improv in any given rock show.
Yeah.
You know, something we try to do, which right. is a little difficult when you're playing with tracks and is stuff
that,
like we do.
But. I was going to ask you, do you guys do, because you only have two people.
Yeah, we have two people, so we use tracks when we play live, which is a thing now. Mm-hmm. And,
it's a
you
thing.
Know,
it has to happen.
10 years ago or more, it was really looked down on, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I definitely did. Mm-hmm. Whenever I was in a band then and we'd come across a band playing with tracks, I was like, what are these jokers?
Like you have to now. Like yeah. everybody does.
But yeah, literally.
Well, it's no one really looks down on it anymore. It's just another tool that you can be using to make your live show.
Yeah, and like lots of bands like hook up tracks to like your DIY light shows that you could do. You know?
But I think it's important to find a balance to where like your entire show isn't backing tracks. I mean, you have to find a balance where that's just another thing that's backing up the thing that's happening live.
It's being an instrument, like. Know? Yeah.
Because if that thing cuts out, you still got
to
play a show,
right?
You know, and you still have to be able to to perform and sound good with or without them. So
it's just another auxiliary instrument for us. Because I mean, we are very like bass and drums heavy, mm-hmm. but like I think it just backs us up in such a way where we don't need, you know, we play off of it.
Dude, I always want to know this about other people in bands. Is like when I see. When I grew up listening to like metal and old emo and punk shit and mm-hmm. going to like shows in basements and stuff, and like that was when it was there. I didn't even know what the fuck tracks
mm-hmm.
were,
mm-hmm.
you know. I didn't even know what that was a thing.
Yeah.
And I always really liked when I went to go see a band and they would do something completely different that was on the album. And like I've expressed that from time to time, and I either get I really like that, or I want to hear the album exactly as it's played on the album, which leads me to believe, like, what, you just listen to the album.
I'm coming from a little bit of a, I can appreciate both of those points of view.
Yeah, me too.
I definitely enjoy seeing and hearing things that aren't on the record. Mm. But I don't necessarily want to hear an acoustic version of the album, you know, when you're going to see, like, Weezer or something like that, you know. Which, you know, nothing against them playing acoustically, because that's also really awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want an entirely improv show.
My favorite show that I saw was, I think it was, it. I don't know if Jimmy World plays the tracks. I couldn't tell. Like, I couldn't tell, because Jim Atkins does so much shit with his guitar. Yeah. Like, that, you know Goodbye Sky Harbor, that song?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he did that live, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like 14 minutes.
It's like 14 minutes, and he would just put this fucking guitar on, like, a loop, and he did it live, and I remember it was, like, being one of the first times where I was, like, blown away by a live performance. Mm-hmm. It was when they did that Clarity tour. Like, I was, like, a while ago they played Clarity in full, and it was, if it was set to tracks, it wouldn't have had, like, the same impact as, like, those little, because he had to, like, fucking loop everything perfectly, and, like, obviously he's doing it live, so it doesn't sound exactly perfect, so it was, like, this imperfect perfectness of that loop.
No, which, things imperfection is really underrated.
I think it's fucking awesome.
Both on record and in live situations. Mm-hmm. It's what makes your thing alive, you know? Because it's so easy now to make everything
perfect
frame by frame, you know, that a lot of soul can get sucked out of your music that way. So leaving in imperfections purposefully, sometimes even adding them in on purpose, can contribute to making your stuff more awesome.
I remember recording a couple of songs and adding in feedback. Mm-hmm. Because, if you play if you're direct in, you're not getting any feedback.
It's controlled.
So you had to, like, fucking, like, it was harder to get feedback than to make it sound fucking perfect. And I was like, what is this shit is gone in fucking reverse.
Feedback is among my favorite sounds to have on a song. Feedback, piano smashes, sleigh bells.
Coughing. Mm-hmm. I like a good cough. I like it when, like, it's like fucking
just some sort of convulsion, really EQ'd out, you know, really evenly.
How many songs do you guys have? Do you have a full album ready to go?
We've got 8 songs on the record, which I guess is like a long EP. But I've got more songs than that. But getting this started, I had to approach it really conservatively when it came to, like, the budget, because I am, you know, a father of 2, and I didn't want to just, you know, throw a whole bunch of money at it and hope for the best. So the album got pieced together bit by bit through friends who had, like, a studio time over here, and I've also been learning how to do it on my own. So it took a while to get it sort of pieced together.
Yeah.
But there is more material. It's just finding an opportunity to record it still is our biggest challenge. So.
And how did you guys meet and start this whole thing?
We met like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think we met at a, we were both playing for different bands at the time, but I think we met at a festival, South by So What. Yeah,
South by So What. It was with my band Brobex that I did before Panic.
I remember the Brobex.
Oh, thanks, Finn.
At Kilby Court.
You've been
time.
There?
I mean, I grew up in Park City, like down the street from Ryan.
Yeah, which is Kilby Court, that in itself is a whole other story. But yeah.
That's one of those venues, man. Kilby Court.
Kilby's awesome.
Yeah, I love that place.
It's super cool. They have like a fire pit outside.
It's such a weird thing. Like, the first time you go to Kilby Court, it's down this alley, and you think that you're in the wrong place for sure. There's no way that there's a venue here. It's all these dilapidated houses that
are like workplaces,
are
like
certainly abandoned, and then you find out that you are in the right place, and it's so underwhelming, and you're so bummed that this little shack is the venue that you're playing tonight.
But then
the show is 100% awesome every single time.
Yeah, it's super cool, and it's all like, it's like this like green garage.
Yeah. And the vibe there is great. Kids come out there, and it's just one of those great venues, much like Emo Night, where people get launched that way.
See, that's where I grew up going to shows. Like, I would consider myself an outcast. Like, Park City, nobody listened to the kind of stuff that, like, we listened to, like, at all. So that was, like, my escape. And so the cool thing about the whole new band with Dallin and I is just, like, I always, like, when I went to Kilby Court, I was like, oh, man, I found this new band that no one knows about, and it's, like, my secret, and, like, this is so rad. Like, I'm experiencing something that no one else is. And I think that's kind of, like, the idea behind our band, where you can just, like, find it, you know? And so that's what like, makes me excited about music, is when I can discover something. Mm-hmm. And Kilby Court was that to me. And it, you think it's, like, this, like, you know, shithole, per se.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's like a community vibe. You know, I remember the first time I ever played a show, that it was in, like, this is before Kilby Court became really what it was, but it used to just be, like, a house party place. So, like, in 2000, I was, like, in a punk band that was just there locally. But
what was that punk band called?
They were called the Teen Tragedies.
Okay.
Yes.
And so there was all these people, like, they just brought beer, PBR, like, mohawks, stud jackets, running around, like, in circles around, like, the pole that's at Kilby, like, the pole.
The pole.
And they just had, like, the crappiest PA back in the day. But, I mean, like, I saw, like, Death Cab for Cutie there, like, sold out. I saw, like, Dashboard, Newfound Glory, and, like, people would just come and, like, There'd be some shows, man, where there'd be, like, 10 people there and, like, a dog. Like,
Kilby dog.
Yeah, like, just walking around. And, like, some bands, like, show up and they'd be all jaded and pissed off. And, like, there's, like, this wood thing on the stage that would say, like, no rock star attitude. And you weren't allowed to do covers.
Dude, I remember I opened for, like, Phosphorescent there.
Wow.
And then I moved to L.A. I was, like, what is this, like, 10 years later? And I remember seeing him, like, sold out El Rey. Yeah, I was like, dude, I fucking played for you. I opened for you, and there were literally, like, three people there.
Kilby Court was the first show that Brobics ever played where, like, there were actual fans there that wasn't just, like, our families that came to, you know, cute that you're doing this little fun thing. I think we played there once, and that was the case. And then the second time, there was, like, half a dozen people there that came because they heard about our band. And then the third time that we played, it was packed full of complete strangers that came to see our band. And it was the best feeling in the world. That was sort of the moment for me that I knew, well, I'm doing this until I die.
Cool.
And that was Kilby Court for me.
Yeah.
I think every city has one of those that we had. I grew up in Tucson, and it was this place called Scrappies.
I play the Scrappies. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Scrappies. I don't think I've ever been there, but I remember hearing
about it.
Dude,
it's crazy.
It's like the same sort of vibe, right? Like, it's the same sort of deal, and, like, that's where all the youth culture that didn't really fit in went to go hang out. And it's always owned by these, like, fucking weirder, older people that wanted to, like, that love that. They love it so much that they never wanted to let that go. Mm-hmm. And so they, like, have a place where everybody... Did they have a place like that in Hungary?
I mean, I'm sure.
But Babs was a teen in LA.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would only go to that festival when I was, you know, like, 5.
What's it called?
Siget.
Yeah.
What did you just call me?
But I wonder, is there a place like that in LA?
I don't know.
The closest
The closest thing that I've seen is Amplify.
Yeah.
Amplify. In Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's
like all ages.
It's
right?
A smaller all ages venue, and it's
next to the Astro Burger.
Yeah, next to
by Paramount. Yeah. Yeah,
and it's such a cool vibe in there. It's
very, very Kilby.
It's not the biggest venue in the world, but, like, it reminds me of Kilby Court so much, and the fact that it is all ages is huge because that's so rare in Los Angeles to be able to have all ages shows. It's kind of a challenge for us because we want every show that we play to be
right. We don't have, like, all ages. We don't have, like, a fancy booking agent or
nothing.
Label.
It's 100% DIY right now.
How long are you going to keep it like that?
I mean, as long as it seems reasonable to do so. I mean, we want to put our record out on a big of a scale as we can.
Sure.
But, you know, if there are people sort of on the line to help, you know, make that happen, like, we're not opposed to the idea, but getting it started is something we just wanted to do, you know, something that was fun, do it ourselves, make it simple and easy, and
I mean,
and play,
it seems
and play,
like,
shows, and that's all we wanted to do.
It seems like you guys are just, like, having a lot of fun with it too, like, with all the creative and, like, the branding and all that. Like, can you talk a little bit about, like, where that comes from? And
when I was in the middle of making the record, I fell into this weird YouTube hole one night. I couldn't sleep, and it was this old series of cable access talent shows from like 30 something years ago.
That's amazing.
And it was so bizarre, but I couldn't stop watching it because every person who came on this show, it was like, this was their moment, their chance. You know, they were going to be a star because they were on this
public access show.
And every one of these people just were so sure that they were talented and remarkable and that this thing that they were doing was worth sharing with the world. And for those reasons, I identified with it, you know, because, like, I might be exactly like these people. You know, maybe I believe in my own talents way more than I should, you know? So I wanted to be on this show, you know, but since it hadn't been on the air for 30-something years, the only way to do that was to make a band that was from the past, you know, who was already on this show. And so that's sort of where the concept began, is to make a story and a concept to go behind this thing that it already was a band, and it has a story, but you have to discover it, like Ryan was saying, for yourself.
Right. Figure it out.
Yeah, because I think that's more meaningful than a press release.
Well, I think, you know, that putting together pieces is something that, like, I mean, when we saw, you know, we saw the engagement after you guys played, and I think that there's enough there for you guys to drop a clue here and there and have, like, a subreddit about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's, like, what you guys could potentially do is, like, drop pieces here and there and have people figure out this thing that you guys are doing and put it together and make it, like, them a part of it. And I think that is
we've been kind of doing that. For sure. Yeah.
No,
I mean, with our Instagram.
So it's like, keep doing what you're doing,
No, I mean, like, with our...
we're playing everything really close to the chest, but we're giving and have been giving fans, you know, little bits and pieces, but... they have to look for it. We're not just coming out and saying, "Hey, here's a thing that we did."
Right.
It might be in a post that, you know, flashes something for a quick second or something in the background of a.
We don't want fair weathered fans.
Yeah, I remember when Ryan showed us those clips at Go Get 'Em.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, "This is fucking cool," because it wasn't like here's a song. Check out my band. Here's a song. It was like, it made me want to know more about it.
Well, one of the challenges that we thought about as we were developing this was that we knew there would be a whole bunch of people that were going to come in and check us out just because of other bands that we play for. So we didn't want to exploit those fans, too. You know, that was something that was important to us. We didn't want to exploit the people that we worked for and you know, those fans. Mm-hmm. So creating something that you have to discover if you want to, you know, what seemed like the right way to go.
Yeah, you're not force-feeding it to anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that... I'm sorry, Babs.
I was just going to say it's kind of cooler that way because I feel like if you do exploit that, people expect a certain sound in a way, which, you know, sucks, I'm sure, as a band. So.
Well, it always sucks to be compared to this and that band because, you know, you never want to be pigeonholed necessarily, but it's just something that happens. People look at what you do and it's just human nature to want to compare it to something that they already know. And so it's sort of inevitable. Like, you know, we're a two-man band, so people are going to go, "Oh, 21 Pilots," or you have a song that with
Simon and Garfunkel,
or the best one that I've heard is the best one that I've heard is like
compare you to that.
Yeah. Someone called us Glam Wham, which is my favorite thing so far.
I really like it,
but it's the same thing. Like if you had like a synthesizer in a song, people go, "Oh, well,
you're an electronic band,"
or "You sound like the Killers" or something. You know, so people are always gonna compare you to something.
Let me ask you this. I ask this to every single fucking person that comes in here, and it's just like a personal observation. Is the greatest thing and the worst thing about the internet is that every single person has something to say and an opinion, and it's a valid opinion because it is theirs, and they have a platform to say it.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you guys actually pay attention to? Like, because I know for us, sometimes somebody will say some shit and we're like, that's absolutely not true. You're completely wrong. And this hurts my feelings. Right. You fucking stranger.
I'm so upset.
You
know,
but you'll get like 200 positive comments. Yeah. And you just like look at that one and you're like, I can't believe it.
See, you're right. But you're 400 to 4,000
thumbs up and seven thumbs down or something.
I think it's important not to invest too much into the positive comments or the negative comments, because like it can take you down if you're investing too much into what people say. You gotta be stoked about what you're doing yourself first and feel that it's good and feel good about what you're doing, and if other people like it, that's just a bonus. But you know, not everybody's going to. That's also part of it.
We have learned that.
Yeah. So it's good and it feels great to read all those comments of the people who love what you're doing. But it's important, I think, not to invest too much of yourself into that, because you might start to believe it and you might start to think that, oh, well, maybe I am the greatest.
Yeah, but I feel like it's human nature to get kind of sucked into it.
Yeah, it's an easy hole to fall into, and I've seen it happen, and I've definitely had it happened to me before in the past, but I try to be mindful of it.
It's a super fucking personality thing, because some people are like, yeah, I don't look at them and I don't give a fuck.
Right.
You know, and
that's cool. I wish I could
I also wish I could do that. Like, I wish that I could just be like, oh yeah, I don't give a shit. I like, everything is a thing, you know?
Right.
Like, everything is like a thing. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But what you can't do is let people know as well, like, for, you know, there's all these positive comments and you get like one negative comment you want to like fire back. Like, that's when you know, like, it's like, what?
But
like,
it's why I deleted my Twitter.
Because I was just like, dude.
It's also like, I've noticed this bizarre way.
Like, why isn't everybody like me? Like, that one person, what the hell? Like,
fans
like,
will
sleep over stuff like that, you know?
Fans will like take a negative stance and they'll come at you in the hopes that you will have that reaction.
Right.
And then talk to them. Because, you know,
oh, I like you now, or something.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, that doesn't
and
happen.
Then immediately,
we're not there yet. Nobody wants to talk to us.
So the best way to deal with all of it is just sort of, the only way to win is to just ignore it and live your life and make your art and do your thing, you know?
Yeah.
The only,
and the rest will come.
The only people that anybody wants to talk to is fucking Ricky.
Hey, Ricky.
Hi, Ricky.
Hey.
Nobody gives a shit about
him. Yeah. People want to talk to him because he doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't want to talk to people.
I wish I was like that.
Yeah,
because everything is fine.
Yeah,
everything's
good.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, I got to ask, how was karaoke on Saturday?
Karaoke on Saturday. Why can't I remember this?
Hotel Cafe.
I guess it was pretty good.
It
must have been a good time.
I actually rolled there for like, I think I got there too late. That was the problem.
Yeah.
But the band was, it was karaoke, but there was like a lead singer. So like they would just bring up people and just sing songs with the guy that was actually singing.
Huh. Hey, for
so,
everybody who doesn't
yeah,
know
it
what,
wasn't
the,
like,
what the fuck you're talking about, like me, what are you talking about?
I got invited by a friend of mine to go to a hotel cafe. And I guess like once a month, this guy, Curtis Peoples, like puts together some band thing. And they just do like 80s covers and 90s covers and just everything.
You 90s
can, like,
covers?
Yeah.
I could fuck with that.
Yeah, so but I got there way too late. That was my problem.
And people can get up with him and sing?
I think it's one of those things, like, if it's, like, prearranged. Like, if you know him, you can go, like...
Got it.
You know, do that. But it would be really rad to have something more like that around here. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, like, oh, like, you sign up on a list and there's a live band.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
yeah, that's kind of what I thought was what was going to happen. But I think it was just all prearranged. So.
Let's just start that, then.
That's also
let's not do it. Hey, let's not do anything
yeah
else.
I know, I'm just
like, let's just like not do one other thing.
I know. Okay.
I haven't even told these guys yet though, but you texted me and you were there with Vic from Pierce the Veil and another dude from a band that you manage, assuming we survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Hey, also those guys are so fucking nice. You guys are the nicest guys. Like y'all are just fucking nice. Like,
just you and Vic. That's it. Like, no one. No, I'm just kidding.
He's a real cool dude. I've known that guy for a long time.
But
like,
Ryan texted me and he was like, yeah, me and Vic, like, we realized that we know Green Day, Dookie in its entirety, if you ever want to have that at emo night.
I also do know that in its entirety, and I love how
that
fucking
so
album starts.
Well, I did it a couple I actually did it a couple days ago down in Orange County. It was like Ron from the old bass player from Falling in Reverse, and then Adrian from Assuming We Survive was singing, and we just wanted to do something fun. Again, it's like a whole community thing. It's
wait,
like there wasn't like any
you guys
saying?
Played it like
yeah what? Front to back
are like, you fucking serious?
I played all by myself on guitar at the very end. And it was really funny. And it was great. There was like a couple hundred people there. I wish at that venue they allowed like crowd surfing and you know, a pit or whatever, because I feel like it would have just gone off. But it was very controlled at the show. But people were singing along, and it was just really crazy. Like I was already jet lagged because I flew in from Brazil to go to that show.
You went to Brazil?
Yeah. You see the comments that say come to Brazil.
And you finally went.
So yeah, it was my girlfriend's birthday, and so I just went down there to celebrate with her family and everything.
But, when you get there, are they like, oh, finally?
If I don't, it's actually really funny. It's the only country in the world where, like, if I say I'm going, there'll be people at the airport.
Yeah.
They're waiting. Not like Los Angeles or anything. Like,
why do you think that is? Why do you think that people get, like, Brazil gets deprived of
I have found out some information.
What is it?
Okay. So, well, I don't know if this has anything to do with why everyone wants bands to come to Brazil, but students get 50% off of all...
That's true.
...all tickets.
That's
and so,
totally
like,
true.
Bands get a lower deal to go play there, right?
So...
Obviously. So, less bands are going to go there... And so more fans are dying to have bands come. This is my theory.
Next time they say come to Brazil, I'm going to be like, come to America.
No, you know what's really fucking crazy about Brazil is I went to Lollapalooza last year down there. And you could just literally walk up to the window and be like, I'm a student. And they're like, okay. They didn't ask for ID, anything. Like anybody can go. Damn. Like... I don't know how. Maybe I looked like a student. I went up to there and I was like, "I'm a student." Like, what? Why wouldn't that stop anybody?
And then you got like a discount on a ticket.
Yeah.
To Lollapalooza.
Correct.
Okay, so that's why. Yeah.
Like, but it's crazy. It's like Brazil. Like nothing makes sense.
Yeah. I'm bummed, man. I thought it was just because I was really cute and popular.
No, it's because they can see you for half off.
That's what they want.
But I think like now, like the novelty of Brazil, it's not. They're not like losing anything. You know what I mean? But now it's sort of wearing out. But like. I honestly don't know why they just are so crazy about it. Because, you know, and another thing I found is, like, when, like, Justin Bieber goes to Brazil, right?
Oh, my
God. This is what my girl told me. She said that, like, kids will line up for, like, a month outside and live, like, they will, like, build
outside
a tent or
the
something.
Airport?
Yeah. Oh, no, like, outside the venue.
Whoa.
So they can get that up close.
No,
it's like they
I
save
understand.
All the.
I get that.
But then what about like concerts that are happening in that month? Like where are people going to get in line?
There are no like, for real. It's like an event. Like bands don't really play in Brazil, like from America. Yeah, it's right, like they know about it like a month or two. And then like they try to save up as much, you know, reais or whatever. You know what I mean? The currency.
Is that
what
the currency is?
Yeah, the reals, the, you know. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
That is fucking clear. I believe. Yeah,
I just came back from,
but see, it's like,
from
it's like
Europe,
three,
and I had
like
no idea
to,
how...
It's 3-1 down there, right, for the dollar. And so I think a lot of bands like don't go because they think they're going to get like ripped off by a promoter. But you have to find a right promoter that will take care of you ahead
of time. Just multiply everything by 3.
Yeah, there you go.
That's your answer.
it's so fucked up.
Dude,
but it's beautiful, and it's great. And
the
I hope we can... Yeah, the food's great. I hope we can go down there one day.
You guys have to go to Brazil.
You guys realize that after we air this that...
that like, we're going.
Wait, you're airing this?
Yeah, you guys.
That we're just hanging out.
You
all
guys,
the comments. Ja, ja, ja.
Ja, ja, yeah. Ja, 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 ja.
Yeah, you guys are fucking officially going to Brazil after this. But I just came back from fucking there, and I didn't know how any of the currency worked.
You're in Europe, right?
Yeah, I don't know how any of that shit works. I literally have no idea.
American.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Well, I found out in Paris, every Paris stereotype exists. They're like,
they don't want to talk to you unless like you speak at them in French first, or is it like,
you like yell at them?
No, they love tiny coffees and they love blasting cigs. They love fucking cigarettes, and every Uber I fucking took, they didn't speak. There's no English. I didn't speak for 3 days. And for anybody,
I like that you called an espresso a tiny coffee.
Yeah, they fucking loved. When I went to like go order them in the morning, I was like, I'll take 3 tiny coffees. And they were like
what?
They were like, I was like, yeah, 3, I'll just drink them really quick. Like, I'll just like
yeah, if you ask for an iced coffee, it's like a treat. They're like, oh, we put ice cream in it and like whipped cream. Like, you can't just get an iced coffee.
I just learned to learned to like them there. But I was like, can I have 3 at a time? Can I have 3 of them? I'm from America.
The other night, can I tell you what happened in Brazil the other night? I was with my girlfriend and her family, and I was trying to practice Portuguese. And I was trying to ask for more bread, but if you don't like say it in a certain way, it means another word.
What does it mean?
I said, basically what it translated to is like, hey, could I have some more dick? So that's what that yeah. I don't know if I should
is,
say
of
that.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be saying any of these stories or how it's, graphic yeah, we're trying to get. But
it's literally
like,
fine.
Yeah, but I mean, even things like that, and then like everybody laughed. I'm like trying to practice stuff, yeah, you know. So it's like, I mean, when they try to come here, like I feel for them now.
So
you know?
Did they bring you bread?
That's the mystery. We'll find out next time. No,
so, Ryan's yeah, single.
No, yeah, I'm single now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. You guys have been over there a ton, I bet. Right?
I've been over to Brazil, yeah, a lot. But I mean, I met my girlfriend in Brazil, so that's
what
do
you mean
more
Europe?
Special.
Yeah, I don't care.
Everywhere.
It's like wherever.
Here's the
yeah,
thing: is like I've
there,
never been out of the country. I was out of the country like once when I was little in Barbados, you know, and like that's it.
Did you enjoy it though?
I was like,
time?
I in Barbados or
no,
this
it was
time.
Just like
it was amazing. States. I went literally just not for vacation. I like was like, I'm gonna go and see every museum I can see. I'm gonna eat all this weird food and I'm gonna be super nice to everybody and apologize for like our president. Like I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm from America. Like I know he sucks.
The ambassador work. Yeah.
Did you see Chelsea Handler? She had a shirt that she said that she wears when she travels, and it just says, I'm American, sorry about our president, but it's in every language.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Nice. But I was literally, everybody, I was, well, I found this really strange, because I was like, I'm sorry about him, like, he's really bad, we all dislike him. And they're like, well, which I thought they would be like, yeah, fuck that guy, he's ruining everything. They were like, maybe he's like what you guys need. Don't get me wrong. Like we don't like him,
well,
but maybe
London, I think I know what you mean. Probably like,
yeah,
they just
maybe,
did Brexit.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe it's going to take this guy in order for us to straighten some stuff out.
Which was really strange because, like, you know, everybody's so outspoken here, and it's just fuck this, fuck that. Which, like, I get it. Like he's really.
But it's like we elect, like ultimately we elected him.
Yeah,
you know.
It struck me as like really strange because it wasn't as aggressive as I thought it would be. They were like, well, maybe, like, yeah, he's a dick, but like,
but he's really hot.
We're not talking about you anymore. We're like, and then I like, and it, they were like, they brought up like a bunch of really good points. Like to me, I just talked to a bunch of strangers and old people the whole time I was there and looked at like art and the underwhelming Mona Lisa. You seen it?
I have, yeah. I know what you mean. It's a lot smaller than you think it is.
It's about the size of that.
It's but, like an Instagram harvest yeah, is what it looks like.
I was way more stoked seeing some other paintings that were in the Louvre that I've seen in famous movies and things like that. Like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, the Mona Lisa was great. I think everyone should take a look at it. But it's just kind of like, oh, well, there it is.
That hallway that is down is way better. Like, the hallway to the Mona Lisa was way fucking cooler. Mm-hmm. It took forever. They just got a lot of bowls, a lot of Jesus in the Louvre. A lot of bowls.
It's really cool, though. The place is huge. You could spend like 2 days walking around it and not see everything. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I fucking got lost. And you can't read anything either because it's all in French.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you just have to appreciate it if you don't speak French. And it was hard. It was like really hard for me to just to not. I was really like, I was just by myself. So I was like really touristy. By myself, and it was really like a cool. It was a really cool trip. I loved Amsterdam the most, though.
Yeah, Amsterdam's great.
And everybody's like, "You got to smoke weed and go to the prostitute thing," and I was like, "I don't do any of those things." And we have Tinder and a weird weed store like every 5 seconds here. Yeah. Like, I don't need to go to Amsterdam to do things I already don't do here. like you can literally go like it's
apart from all that stuff. Like, even if you're not into any of it, Amsterdam's beautiful.
It was
awesome food again, dude, but it's beautiful just to walk around, like the canals and the bridges.
It was exactly what I thought Europe would look like.
Yeah,
that was like my impression of it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, even if you're not into any of that stuff. I think
I went down there. I went down to like the red light district just to like see it. I went in the I was like, there's a museum down there, a sex museum. And like, I went in there and I was like, this is completely underwhelming. And it's just like, obviously that they're like, we got to put a museum here. Like, let's get a bunch of dicks from like a bunch of places and just throw them on like three floors.
Let's make the saddest museum we can think of.
It's like, it's like strip club vibes, like the whole place. And like, I don't like that at all. Cause you know, I like, it's, that's not like, it's not my thing. So like, it wasn't for me, but I can see like the appeal of it. I mean, it's the fucking thing is it's like still beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like in the middle of a. The best thing about it was there's like these giant fucking geese. Like just like these like bigger geese than I've ever seen in my life, just fucking cruising the amps. It was like they were the security for the fucking like the porn stores, because they were literally as big as like a
oh, they're huge.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Did you know they fucking? I didn't know the way.
I walked around because I only been to Amsterdam twice now, but like I walked around the first time, like we had like a day off, and yeah. I've never been to Europe until then, and it just was like I was gonna take full advantage of like, because like, being a musician, you never know if you're gonna go back to these places, you know, like touring.
That's
like,
sad.
So
right?
It's not even that, man. But what I'm saying is, I don't take anything for granted. Like I always want to like go see things. I don't want to just like fly halfway across the world, sit in like my hotel room, and go experience something that I may or may not never see again.
So when you go to a new place and you're on tour, do you kind of like look up ahead of time what you want to go see, or do you like ask locals where to go?
I kind of just wander.
Okay.
I make my own destination.
It depends. If I know that I'm going somewhere
that you've been before, then I have a set plan.
Or if I know that something awesome is here,
right?
I want to see it. I'll try to plan it out if I can. But like I'm a big sci-fi nerd. I love Doctor Who, and there's this whole exhibit in Cardiff in Wales. And I had a day off there once. I wanted to walk down there and see it. But if I would have done that, my wife would have been so mad at me because she loves it too.
So you didn't
I didn't do it out of respect for the missus.
Really nice.
But, I bet you
that's like really nice.
Yeah, well, I'm a really nice guy.
You could just be, this is a fucking ruse. I bet you went down there and every interview you fucking, you're like, no, I didn't. It was I would never do that. Do you like Gaia? Do you watch Gaia?
Gaia.
Science. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it anime?
It's not anime. I don't.
Gaia, what is it?
It's like.
I've never heard of it.
It's disguised as like a yoga website, but it's not. It's like all the conspiracy theory sci-fi shit.
Okay.
It's awesome.
I'm not familiar with it.
It's awesome.
I think I've heard the name before, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I mean, if you're into all that stuff, it's like hours and hours and hours and hours of stories.
But it looks like a yoga mat place?
No, it's like disguised as like a yoga site, and then It's well known that it's not, but like they're like, we have transcendental meditation, like right in the front, and then you just do one click, and you're like, NASA exposed. We were fucking alien. It's like fucking aliens. It's like really, if you're into that stuff, it's like really fascinating.
We are. That's kind of the whole vibe of what we're doing too. So I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it's like it literally like the subscription is like $5 a month. I'm sure it puts you on some sort of list, but it's worth it.
Some government list.
Yeah, I'm sure it's worth it though. I mean, literally like
if you signed up. All right, it's
I don't want to spend like the whole time talking about it, but I could. So maybe after this, we'll exchange numbers and we can text about Gaia stuff.
I'm into it. I'm gonna check it out.
It's really like I care about it a lot. Like it's like something that I watch before I go to bed.
I love hearing about anything that people are like really passionate about, because there's, you know, even if I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I just love seeing that happen with people.
Because I have never heard you talk about this.
Well, you can't really talk about it.
Okay.
Is the fucking thing.
Like, which makes me want to know even more.
Yeah, it's like their band. You exactly. can't really talk about it. You can't. Also,
you gotta find it.
I laughed myself to sleep one night when thinking about your guys' band name, and I accidentally added the word fuck in there. And I was like, I don't know how the fuck they I don't know how, but they fucking found. And like I was thinking about all the different ways you could do it. And it fucking, for some reason, I was like, that is so funny, Morgan. You are so funny to yourself. You should go to sleep.
Well, you know, band names in general are always pretty terrible. You know?
Like if you don't know anything about it, like the first time I heard the name Jimmy Eat World.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
the Beatles.
Blink 182.
All bad names.
But you guys want to know the worst? Like one of my favorite bands ever is Catfish and the Bottlemen. Have you heard of them?
I've heard of them. I haven't seen them.
But you won't listen to them, right? Because you of that name, right?
I think they're on tour with Green Day.
They're fucking amazing.
Yeah,
like so good.
I think the only band to ever have like an awesome band name is probably Led Zeppelin. Like that band name, excellent.
Yeah.
Good job.
I mean,
you did great.
Cannibal Corpse.
Everybody else.
That is a good
Cannibal
name.
Corpse
that
is a good band name. Yeah. For anybody, even if you're not metal, like that is an awesome
band. Yeah, it's awesome. They also had the best album covers.
Yeah.
I remember being on a DIY tour once, like when I first booked my own shows, like ever, like it was like one when the Olympics were happening. Yeah, I decided to get out of town. Yep, nice. I decided to get out of town. We had a break in high school, so we booked the tour and we played with this band in Albuquerque. They were called Oh My God. And I thought that was the coolest name for a band ever.
That's not bad.
Yeah, right? Not bad. Oh, and they were the guy that was playing bass looked like Will Ferrell, but like he had like super long hair. He was just this like insane person just screaming like top. Was like actually playing bass. And I was just like, dude, this guy's like incredible. And I don't know why they didn't take off, but the band was called Oh My God. They put on the best live show.
Probably because no one could research them on the internet.
Seriously. There's...
Yeah, you guys, I really like the band name Fucked Up. Which up. I like that band, too. I like that band. Do you like them, Ricky?
Love them.
There you go. There he is.
Ricky. Approved by Waves. Ricky.
Yep.
What?
The Waves EP, they
guest on. Yeah, that's fucking great. Yeah.
Is it fine? It's
no,
fine.
It's more than fine.
Though. Oh, wow.
Ricky's at like a constant four.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like that's it. Like, he's just like...
Like, everything is fine. It's
you
fine.
Could be like... You could be like, Ricky, I have something to tell you. I put $1 million in your bank account, and he'd be like, "Oh, that's great,
cool, thank you, thank you
so much."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's the most it's the fucking most intense place.
And like
you'll
Ricky, Post Malone is coming. He's a big fan, and he's like, "Oh, cool."
It's really weird. It's like you were born with Xanax inside you.
That's like coffee fucks with me.
Yeah, he has coffee and he has a fucking meltdown.
If you had NyQuil, you'd like die. Is that
the only thing? The only other thing that's really crazy to me is that TJ and Dallin and myself were all from Utah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that we were all from Utah until later on. Let alone that I didn't even know TJ lived down the street from like where I grew up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that Dallin was in like a similar music scene, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's just really weird how the world
small
works.
World, man.
Just everything. Like, people, connection, you know.
Where in Utah?
I grew up in Clearfield.
Clearfield, Utah.
If you know where that is. It's like, you know where Ogden is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds white.
A little bit. How could you guess that?
Have
you been to Clearfield?
It just sounds like a white place. They should
in fact, you have to say Clearfield.
Actually, out of all the places, I think Ogden is not... Out of the rest
it's,
of
it's probably the most diverse city in Utah.
Yeah.
That's the nice way to say it.
Yes.
Because you were struggling.
Shitty,
I was just looking around like...
What was that shitty venue in Ogden?
Oh, the fucking...
The Junction Theater?
The Junction? One? That, no.
The one below that, the smaller one.
Oh, God. Mojo's or something?
Yeah, maybe.
It's like it was like
really
a bookshop.
Yeah.
God.
They stole my microphone once.
Bastard.
The Junction?
No, Mojo's.
Oh, Mojo's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
One time, my band was opening for Fall of Troy, and we drove all the way from Park City to Ogden to do it, and my drummer forgot his fucking cymbals, and
we
couldn't play.
Are you kidding? They, like, another band?
And nobody would let us use their cymbals.
Oh, boom,
dude,
man.
One time...
That's cool.
This is a real story. One time, I was on tour, and my friend's band was doing a 10-year anniversary show down the street, and my show was ending. And I was like, I gotta get to the show. I packed up all my shit, whatever... Went to go see the Juliana Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Get to the next city. Nope. My cymbals weren't there either. I went to replay the...
Wait, someone stole them?
No, like, I just forgot to load them in. Okay. And then, but the best story, though, is that a girl that was living in Philly...
She sounds hot.
We went to Chicago, and she happened to, like...
A girl? Dude, I love girls.
she happened to have been going to a show in Chicago, like, the same weekend we were playing, so she brought my cymbals out to me while I was on tour.
Wow. That's so tight.
Yeah. See?
Very nice.
There is faith in the human
race. The only thing that I've ever had stolen on the road was this band named Diamond Knights, who were a pretty good band. They stole my purple duct tape once. And I needed that duct tape.
Diamond Knights sounds like they would open up for an opener for Dream Theater.
They sound like a Neil Diamond cover band. You
right.
know? Like, again, band names being terrible, but they were actually a really good band. But they absolutely stole.
How do you know?
Because it was there, and then it wasn't there, and then they weren't there.
I thought you like uncovered a photo of that, like
them holding the tape.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey.
There it is.
We fucking got that guy.
I mean, you know, if I could have proven it, then... You know, I would have, but they stole it, okay? And I just know that they did.
All right. Enough.
No, duct tape's expensive, man, especially like the colored one. You know?
Yeah.
Colored, yeah, it's not easy to come by.
Plug some more stuff. Because we're wrapping it up.
All right.
We have derailed.
Yeah, what do you guys have coming up?
Oh, yeah. We should probably talk about that, right?
Yeah, we should talk about things.
So we're playing a show. Well, actually, we're going on tour in 2 days. We're playing at the Viper Room to kick off the,
yeah,
the first
it's
show.
It's
of
a
the,
short little, like, yeah, 4 or 5 day thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
And we're borrowing someone's van to do it. And
where are you going?
Going to Utah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
We're playing at a place called Valor.
Yes.
In Provo, and that show is halfway sold out, so there's a couple tickets
Wait,
left.
When is it?
It's on Friday, this coming Friday.
I'm going to make my parents go.
You should.
Let's see, we got the Viper Room on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Yep, the Viper Room on Wednesday, this Wednesday.
Sweet.
We're playing with really awesome bands, too.
And
it's like a really stacked lineup. I've never actually been more stoked about a lineup in anything.
Tell me, who are they?
This band Joyous Wolf, you got to check them out. Mm-hmm. Insane. This band Bad Flower, they're really good. They're on Big Machine, John Barbados, like Universal, whatever. They're awesome. And then this band called Riot Child. It's like two girls from Sweden.
I fucking love Riot Child.
Yeah,
they're
so
great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
They're great. We've played two shows.
We can't seem to play a show without them.
That's
right?
Amazing. I'm trying to get them to play Emo Night.
I'm going to look them up.
You see, I'm like holding on to, like, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
They DM'd us.
I know, I DM'd them. And
Yeah, Riot Child, and then this band called Tidal Babes.
Nice.
And
Tidal Babes.
Cool. They're good too. And,
are they females?
Yeah, the singer, and she's from Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her name's Lindsay.
Are they,
it's so weird. Females? This whole thing is insane. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. So it's gonna be a stacked lineup.
Las Vegas
at the Beauty Bar this Thursday with Bad Flower again.
We did a show there.
Yeah.
At Beauty Bar. This is great.
That's cool.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cool joint.
Yes, that's where we did.
Were you guys on the outside, or
really?
You guys had to have been on the outside, right? In Beauty Bar, you guys the inside.
I don't think.
Vegas is
both.
Really
I
tough.
Just like
I don't go to. I don't go to the Vegas.
In Vegas, you're either playing. You're either the biggest band in the world, or you're no one cares.
Yeah.
It's like,
I wonder which one we're gonna be.
We'll see. Dun, dun, dun.
Beauty Bar, though. We did like something saloon.
Oh. But you know what? That show. So Viper Room and Beauty Bar are 21 and up. But then we're playing a show not too far from Vegas on Saturday in a place called St. George. And I was always
a
fan.
Utah?
Yeah, St. George, Utah. I was always a fan of like driving. Maybe like an hour or like 45 minutes away in a little town I knew nobody was going to go to. Like if there was a show in like, you know, Heber, Utah, there was never a show in Heber.
Mm-hmm.
But how rad would that
I
be if there was? Because it's like, it's kind of close.
My sister's getting married in Heber in 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's
going to
be great. Midway or Heber?
I don't know. It's like,
there's a bunch of little towns in Utah. Yeah. They're all like kind of connected.
I think it's like properly Heber. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Heber.
Guys should keep saying Heber.
Heber.
The Heber Creeper. How about that? You ever been
no,
on that?
Like, you know what, though, on The Simpsons, like, they were the Shelbyville, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And
yeah.
we were the Springfield.
Sure.
Park City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that is really? They
oh,
like
yeah.
your guys' as fucking rivals?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you lived in Heber, like, I don't know. You're just a bunch of...
You're a bumpkin.
Yeah, you're a bumpkin, for sure.
Now you guys are going to
might have a
show
missing
there.
Tooth. No, I'm kidding.
So then what color duct tape are you guys bringing on these?
Orange.
Orange.
Okay, nice.
No, but like last time, like when we played Viper Room before, like the secret show, we had like, we were trying to take down everything. We're like, well, we put like orange on all of our XLR cables to know that they're ours. But the Viper Room did it too. And
yeah.
We were...
We thought we were smart, but we're not.
Hey, do you ever, Dylan, do you even correct people anymore when they call you Dylan?
No.
You just
no,
like,
I no one ever gets it right the first time,
yeah.
and it's happened my whole life.
Yeah,
so I just kind of let it pass because I understand.
I've never met another Dylan.
Yeah.
So.
And anytime I introduce myself, you know, I'll say my name, and it never comes back to me the right way. I get Dylan. Darren, and
yeah.
I even got Gabe one time.
Gabe?
Yeah. Like, I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Dallin. Gabe? And I said,
close.
No.
That's so funny.
Not at all. Like, their brain must have just, like, completely shorted out.
Yeah, they're just looking through you.
I actually met another Ryan Seaman not that long ago.
Wow.
Like, in person, and we hung out.
Did you guys?
I'm not even playing. That really happened. Like, because bands are coming to me all the time being like, dude, I really love your artwork. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And, like, you did this artwork for this band, The Graduate, right? And Muse and Foo Fighters. I'm like, dude, I don't do any of that
no,
stuff.
No, that's where you're like, messing up, because you should be
oh,
like,
I'm like, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yes. It's like in Ghostbusters, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Oh, yes. But it is bizarre that there are two Ryan Seamans.
So was he cool? Like, are you guys friends now?
Yes.
Nice.
His name is Ryan D. Seaman. Nice. And I'm Ryan E. Seaman.
Wow.
See? Yeah, really strange. But yeah, he was living in San Diego, but he's like a total art guy. Makes like shit for bands all the time.
That's cool.
Like, it's nuts. And now we're friends.
Well, I would.
That's awesome.
And I think he's helping make some stuff.
Is he really? That's great. You're like, you have the same name as me. Yep. Do some stuff.
Yeah,
for
yeah, exactly. You owe me.
Yeah. You fucking.
People just think that you did the art.
Hey, are you
take it away.
Are you older than him?
I think he's like a year older than me.
Fuck that
I
shit.
I know. So weird.
Yeah. Fuck that shit.
It can only be one.
Yeah. They're really.
You're gonna have to fight him now.
Yep.
So you got these four shows, and then what?
Well, actually, we have these four shows, and then we're playing at Amplify again, but it's sold out.
Yeah.
And then tickets just went on sale for our show in Arizona. We're playing at the Rebel Lounge, and that will be a really great place to.
Yeah. So playing shows and figuring out what to release next is sort of the move. So we'll see what happens.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, we just want to play shows and just have fun.
Yeah, that's really exciting, and it's really like it's really refreshing to see you guys do this because it's really good, and we're fans.
Yeah. Well, thanks. We love you guys.
We
love you.
We really do. We really like you guys a lot.
Then come out on Wednesday if you're not flying, you know, to somewhere, because you guys are always on the road all the time.
But we'll be here Wednesday.
I've never liked any other band that's been in here.
Tickets are halfway sold out for that one, too, so.
In fact, I've hated all of the bands that have ever been in here.
Just letting you guys know, just so you guys get the memo. It's halfway sold out.
All right.
So. Ryan and Gabe, thanks for coming in.
I don't know.
It's fine.
I don't know.
It's okay.
I don't know, but they fucking. What was I saying? It was so fucking funny to me. I don't know how, but
and then you say whatever.
But like, it was like really. I was like, this is so dumb. It's not funny.
I don't know how, but
they fucking found. Yeah. I don't know. It's not funny anymore. It was just funny when you're like on the verge of sleep. You know. Yeah. All right. I'll see you guys.
All right. Bye. Thank you for coming
by.
Thank you.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.